We continue with Masechet's Beitza, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to begin on the top of the Yamud. The Gemara begins by citing the Seif of the Mishnah, Masechet Shabbos, which was quoted earlier, the previous Amud. And the Gemara continues to inquire as to whether or not the Mishnah in Shabbos, which talks about moving the boxes of Tfuah and of Tevin from one place to another in Shabbos, is similar or different from the discussion over here in our Mishnah talking about clearing off the roof and placing the peiros into the aruva, placing it, dropping it through the sky roof. So here the Gemara begins, Hasam Tanan over there in the Mishnah Masechet Shabbos, it says, Avalo Asa Otsar, that you cannot go ahead and remove the kupos, the boxes of straw, from the Otsar, from the storage area. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, May Avalo Asa Otsar, what does that mean, Lo Asa Otsar? Avalo Yigmar Asa Otsar Kulo. Shmuel said what that means is he cannot remove all of the boxes from that area. Why not? Says the Gemara, Dim Osi La Ashvi Gumos. The concern is that if he does this and he's going to expose the entire floor of the Otsar, this may lead to a problem of leveling out the floor. The floor is a dirt floor, and when you remove all the boxes, so you may realize that the floor needs to be leveled out. And there's a concern over here that it may lead to this particular malacha. So here the Gemara says, Hachamai, what's the din over here? In our case, the case of talking about lowering the peiros through the skylight on Yomtiv. Hasam hu b'Shabbos dasim mishum d'chamir. Do we say that what? We're more machmir over there by Shabbos, because naturally by Shabbos we tend to be more machmir. Of a Yomtiv to kill Shapir Dami. Over here, however, that we're dealing with a case of Yomtiv where we typically are more lenient, it is permissible to go ahead and remove all of the peiros. So Dilma, perhaps no. Hasam d'iko b'iko b'ito b'es medrash. Amislo over there, where there's a concern, as we explained, of b'ito b'es medrash, that failure to be able to remove all the boxes will prevent people from being able to go to the base medrash, and yet it is asur. Hacha de leke bitul base medrash lo kosher, and over here we do not have that consideration. We are not looking to prevent the situation of bitul base medrash, so kal v'chomer it is going to be asur to remove all of the peiros. So this is the Gemara's question, and at this point the Gemara doesn't answer the question. The Gemara is now going to present several comparisons between these two cases, but now we are going to look at our case here, the Mishnah over here, Masechet Beitza, and see whether or not we can take those conclusions, the dinim in our Mishnah, and apply it there to Shabbos. So v'hachatanan over here, it says, Mashilin peiros derech aruva b'yamtif. Then in Yamtif, you can go ahead and lower the peiros through the skylight. V'amar Rav Nachman taught, lo shanu elo b'oso hagag, that this particular kul over here, that is found in the Mishnah, that you can lower the peiros through the aruba, through the sky roof, this is only true if it is on the very same roof of amigag legag lo, but to actually go ahead and to move the peiros from one roof to another, that is prohibited. But Tanya Nami Hachu, you find a brisa like that as well, in metaltal and migag legag afilu kishagagosei and shavin, that you're not permitted to go ahead and remove the peiros from one roof and put it on another, even if the roofs are completely level with each other. So Hasamai, what would be the din over there? Namely, the Mishnah on Shabbos that talks about moving boxes in order to allow Orchim Ges or the Tamid Beis Medrash to be able to go to the Beis Medrash. So what would be the din over there? Do we say that Hachu the Asur Mishnah Yomtov to kill? Maybe it's only Asur over here because after all, we're dealing with a case of Yomtif, and people typically tend to be makel when it comes to Yomtif. And we are concerned that this will lead to greater zilzul Yomtif. Shabbos the chamira, however, Shabbos, where naturally we tend to be more strict. And allowing you to move the produce from one place to another will not cause greater zilzul Shabbos, so therefore we can be makel. Odilma, perhaps, ma'ochadika hefse peiros amrislo over here, where there's a concern that the peiros are going to get lost, that they're going to get ruined. If you allow them to stay on the roof and they're going to get soaked in the rain, they will get ruined. And yet it's asur, hasam deleke hefset peiros lo kosher kein. So over there, in the case of Shabbos, where there's no concern of hefset peiros, there's no concern that the produce is going to be lost, it's merely an inconvenience, so kavachomer it is going to be asur. Now the Gemara is going to present yet another inquiry comparing these two cases. Hachetnan over here, we learn in, it actually doesn't say this in our Mishnah, but there is a Braisa which teaches, and usually when we say Tanan, Tanan means Mishnah, but in this particular case, Tanan is referring, in fact, to a brisa. Hacha Tanan over here, we have a brisa that says, lo yishal shalem b'chevel b'chalonos v'lo yaridem derech sulamos, that the fruit that you're going to place down the aruba cannot be lowered using ropes into the windows, nor may you take them back down on sulamos, on ladders. So Hasamai, what would be the din over there when it comes to moving the boxes in order to enable those who are trying to be able to go to the base medrash to learn, can they be moved via the windows or ladders? So halacha biyamtiv who the asur deleka bittul base medrash. Maybe it's only asur over here because there's no concern of bittul base medrash for Shabbos. The ikar bittul base medrash shap yudami. But in that case, where we're concerned about the bittul base medrash, it would be permissible. O dilma halacha the ikar hefsid peiris samer slow. But maybe over here, we should say even though there's no excuse me, halacha the ikar hefsid peiris samer slow over here, then what? There is a concern for hefsid peiros, because if we're going to leave the produce on the roof, it's going to get ruined, and yet it's aser hasam over there. The lack of hefsid peiros lo koshkein. So over there, we would say koshkein, you're not permitted to do it because there is no concern of hefsid peiros. And the Gemara says teiko. This teiko over here applies to all the inquiries, in total four inquiries that the Gemara presented, two on the previous amud and here. So all of these cases go unresolved. These questions go unresolved, and the Gemara does not offer a definitive answer. Okay, so the Mishnah went on to say, "Mechasin is a peiros, that you can go ahead and you can cover the peiros in order to protect it from the rainwater." So now the Gemara presents a machlokes as to what exactly is the extent of this heter. So Amar Ula vafilu avira delivni, that he said that you can even go ahead and cover rows of bricks. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar peiros haruuyin. Rabbi Yitzchak says no. Peiros, which are ru'uyin, which are suitable, which could be used on Yom Tif, so that's what you're permitted to cover on Yom Tif. However, rows of bricks which cannot be used on Yom Tif cannot be covered on Yom Tif. As Reb Yitzchak l'tamedom, Reb Yitzchak ein kli nital el davar hanita b'Shabbos. And Reb Yitzchak is ruling consistently with his own shita, because Reb Yitzchak teaches that you cannot move something on Shabbos unless it is being moved for something else which could be moved on Shabbos. So over here, the bricks, which are muksa, they have no use on Yom Tif, so you can't move the bricks. So just like you can't move the bricks, you cannot go ahead and move something to cover it. As opposed to the peros are not muksa, you can move them. So therefore, he says, you can go ahead and cover those and those only. Tanan, continues the Gemara, we learn in the Mishnah, Mechasen es haperos bekelim, that you can go ahead and you can cover the peros bekelim. What does the Mishnah say? Peiros in avir de livni lo. It seems from the Mishnah that the heter of covering something which may get ruined in the rain only applies to peiros, but it does not apply to the row of bricks. So says the Gemara, hu adin dafilo avir de livni. No, it's not a raya. It could be that what, even when it comes to the row of bricks, it would even be permitted to cover them. V'aydi t'tana reisha mashilin peiros, t'tana seif anami mechasen es haperos. The only reason why the Mishnah singles out peiros is because since the reisha was talking specifically about peiros, that you can lower the peiros through the aruva, so the seif also talks about being mechasen es haperos, covering the peiros, but the truth of the matter is, the heter would apply even to a row of brick. The Gemara now tries to bring another proof from the Mishnah to support Reb Yitzchak's Shita. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, v'chein kadi yayin v'chein kadi shemen, that you can go ahead and you could also cover pitchers of wine and pitchers of oil in order to protect them from the rainwater. So over here you see that the heter of covering items on the roof only apply to those things which can be used on Yom Tif. Here we see additional examples, not only peiros, but kadi yayin, kadi shemen, but seems to imply that anything which is muksa may not be covered. So this is like Rabbi Yitzchak says. It says, no, it's not necessarily raya. Hachamay eskina betivla. Maybe we're dealing over here with tevel. In other words, maybe the wine or oil that is on the roof is not usable on Yom Tif. Maybe it's tevel. There has not yet been hafrasha trumas maisus, in which case you're not permitted to use it. But yet, the Mishnah rules that you are permitted to cover it, which would be in accordance with the position of Ula. So it says, you cannot bring a raya from the Mishnah in support of the Shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. Hachanami Mistabra says the Gemara, in fact, this particular understanding in the Mishnah seems to make sense. The Isuk Adaitach Kadayan Kadi Shemin Deheteira, because if you would think that we're talking about Kadayayan Kadi Shemin, barrels of pitchers of wine and oil that could be used today, So Hatana le Reisha Peros. So the Reisha already spoke about Peros. So what then is the point in going ahead and giving me additional examples? So there's no reason to differentiate between Peros and Kadei Yayin Kadei Shemen. If in fact we're talking about Kadei Yayin Kadei Shemen that are no longer Tevel and can be eaten in the state. But if we assume that it's talking about Tevel, so we understand why the Mishnah would give us a different example, because now there's a big difference between the Peros or Reuyin for Yamtif and the Kadayayin and Kadei Shemen or not. But the Gemara rejects this. The Gemara says, Kadayayin and Kadei Shemen, it's Tzrichalei. The truth of the matter is that even if we're not talking about Kadayayin and Kadei Shemen, that are Tevel, it's still a Chiddush. And it's still necessary for the Mishnah to teach us. Why? So Kadayto Chamina, perhaps I would have said, Lehefsid Meruba Chashashu, Lehefsid Mu'at Lo Chashashu. That maybe the Mishnah permitting me to go ahead and to cover Peros, that's only because Peros would be a case of a Hefsid Meruba. Rashi explains, if the rain falls onto the Peros, they're going to get ruined. They're going to get completely spoiled. However, when it comes to the rainwater that's going to be dripping into the barrels of wine, so that would only be a hefsed mu'ud. It's not going to ruin the wine completely. Okay, so it'll be a minor loss, but not a major loss. Kamash Malan comes along the Mishnah and says, no, the heter to go ahead and to cover the peros is not only because the peros would constitute a hefsed meruba, even when it comes to kadayayin and kadei shemen, where there's only a hefsed mu'ud, it's also permissible. So the Gemara rejects the proof that it's not an actual proof, but the Gemara rejects the suggestion that Hachnami Mistabra, it's more logical to assume that we're talking about Kadayayin and Kadei Shemen of Tevel. Gemara says not necessarily. It's still a Chiddush to tell me that Kadayayin and Kadei Shemen can also be covered, even though exposure to rainwater would only be a Hefsid Mu'at. The Gemara attempts to bring one final proof from our mission in order to support Ula's view. Ula said, again, that you can go ahead and you could move. You can cover even Avir the Livne. He said you can cover the row of bricks even though it's Muksa. So now what is this animation? It says Nosan Kli Tachaz Adelef B'Shabbos. You can go ahead and you can move a Kli at a utensil in order to put it under the dripping water. Now, this dripping water is Stamatz Muksa because it's not suitable for any use. I'm not going to use it on Yom Tif, but yet the Mishnah says that you can move the keli in order to go ahead and to catch this dripping water. So that would seem to support the position of Ula, who said that you can actually go ahead and move a kli on Shabbos, even though, or on Yom Tov, even though it's not being moved ledavar hanito b'Shabbos. So says the Gemara, no, this is also not a rai. Why bedelef haroi? Maybe we're talking about dripping water that is roi, that is usable on Shabbos, since therefore even Reb Yitzchak would say that you're permitted to go ahead and to move such a keli. This is not only the shita of Ula, but even Reb Yitzchak would say, in this case, you're permitted to do so because, after all, it's for something which is roi for use on Shabbos. So now the Gemara tries to look elsewhere in order to find a proof, a support for the shita of Ula. Tashma, there's a brisa which teaches parsin machaltzeles al gabi levena b'Shabbos. Over here, this would seem to be an absolute proof. The brisa says that you can go ahead and you can take a machaltzeles, a mat, and place it over levenim bricks on Shabbos. Now, of course, as we said already, levenim, of course, in Muksa, nothing that you could do with them on Shabbos, and yet you see that you're permitted to go ahead and place a mat on top of them. So this would seem to be an absolute proof for the Shita of Ula that you can go ahead and you can move a kli is Nita B'Shabbos even for a Dover which is not Nita B'Shabbos. So the Gemara again rejects this proof. Says the Gemara, the Yasur Mi Binyana, we're talking over here about bricks that were left over from construction. These are bricks that are no longer going to be used for construction. So what do you do with them? The Chazi Lemigzalayhu. Really, what they are used for is sitting purposes. People sit upon them. Ah, so the reason why Reb Yitzchak says that you can go ahead, Ula says, but the Brisa says, excuse me, but even Reb Yitzchak would say that you can go ahead and cover these bricks because this is being used as a seat. And of course, that's something which is not Muksan Shabbos. These are not Livni, these are not bricks that are being used after Shabbos for the purpose of construction. Tashma, the Gemara attempts to bring yet another proof. A brisa teaches parsin machzelas agabi avanim b'Shabbos. You can go ahead and you can take a mat and spread it over stones on Shabbos. Now, avanim, stones, are typically muksa, and yet you see that you can go ahead and you can cover them on Shabbos. Doesn't that prove, like Ula says, that you can go ahead and you can move something on Shabbos in order to protect something which itself cannot be moved? Says the Gemara, no, also not a raya, but avanim mukurzalos tachazin lebeis hakisei. We're talking over here about specific types of stones that are mukuzalos. Mukuzalos means they are pointed. They have a specific shape, the chazin lebeis hakisei, and they are can be used, lebeis hakisei, people can use them to clean themselves after using the beis hakisei, after using the restroom. Even though normally we don't move rocks on Shabbos, in this particular case, Mishum covered a brios, because we're concerned about the person's ability to maintain proper bodily hygiene and feel comfortable. Mishum covered a brios, so a person can go ahead and move these rocks in order to clean himself, and so therefore it's certainly permissible to go ahead and cover them with a mat so they should not get all wet in the rain. The Gemara continues with yet another attempt to prove Ulish. Shita Tashmat says in the Braisa, Porsin Machtelis Agabi Kaveres Devarim B'Shabbos, that you can go ahead and you can take a mat and cover a beehive on Shabbos. Chama Bnei Achama, you could do this in order to protect it from the sun. If it's a sunny day, Ubakshamim Bnei Agshamim, if it's a rainy day, you could do it, protect it from the rain. Ubevajle is Kavin Lotzud, as long as one does not intend to do this in order to trap the bees. Now, even though a Kaveres, a beehive, is Mux on Shabbos, but yet it says that you can go ahead and move a machzelis to cover it. This would seem to prove the sheet of ula. So it says Gemara, Hasanami Dika Devash. No, it's also not a raya. Why? Because there happens to be honey in the beehive, and therefore that is usable even on Shabbos. And so therefore even Rabbi Yitzchak would allow you to go ahead and to cover that on Shabbos. Amalei Rav Ukva, Mimeshon Ravashi, Hatinach Bimosachama Dika Devash, Bimosachashama Ikle Meimar. So Rav Ukva of Meshan challenges Ravashi, or he asks Ravashi rather, and he says, this answer makes sense if we're talking about the summertime, where, after all, there is going to be honey in the summer. However, b'mos ha'gashamim, in the winter, so there's not going to be any honey there. There's no honey in the hive. And so why should it be that you should be permitted to go ahead and cover the hive in the winter? So l'nitzvacha ela osin shtei chalos. No, this would be necessary to teach you in a place where there are two chalos. Two chalos referring to two honeycombs which are left in the hive during the winter. During the winter, they would leave two chalos in order to sustain the bees throughout the winter. And so therefore, that honey, which is edible on Shabbos, is usable on Shabbos, it's not muksa. And so therefore, one can go ahead and cover the hive in order to protect that honey. Says the Gemara, Osun shtei chalos muksa sein. What do you mean? Those two chalos are going to be muksa, because the purpose of their being there is in order to allow the beehive to survive the winter. And therefore, it's not for human consumption. That's not why it's there. So says the Gemara, no, we're talking about a case where a person made a cheshbon before Shabbos. He says, I plan to eat them. So that was part of his plan, that he's going to eat them, and so therefore they're not muksa, and that's why you can cover them. Says the Gemara, but if you had not gone ahead and make such a plan in your mind to use them, so then also, then certainly you would not be able to cover them on Shabbos, because again, you cannot move the hive, so therefore you would not be able to move the machzelas either for this purpose. Wait a second. Once it says in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, there's already a stipulation that's made on the intention that you do not intend to trap the bees. So liflog v'lisnei b'dida, this very distinction that you're making right now should be made in the Braisa also. When is it true that you're permitted to go ahead and cover the beehive? This is only true shechishev aleim, when he planned to use these two remaining combs in order to eat them. But the Braisa should say that if that was not part of the plan, then it should be usher to do it. So this says Gemara, this is what the Braisa means. Afa pisha chishav aleihem, even if he did plan on using these honeycombs, ubevad shelo yiskavin latzud. The only way he's permitted to go ahead and to cover it, if he does not intend to trap the bees. If, however, he intends to trap the bees, so then it is going to be usur, because this is going to be a melacha of tzeda. Okay, so we'll stop here, and the next year we'll start a few lines earlier just to reorient ourselves, because we're right in the middle of the sugya now. Okay, shkarech.